true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Okay, that's annoying. I wonder if it's going to do that stop-start thing. Okay, we're back, but I'm going to have to keep my eye on it.
Okay.
It just like stopped recording and the things...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Zoom audio is staying, so maybe that's...
Right.
As long as...
Okay, I remember now. This is the show at the Playhouse.
Yes, at SF Playhouse.
Curious Winter Dog.
Take five more guesses as to what the name of this show is.
The dog of the winter that is curious.
Yep. Nope. There's curious and there's dog. There's no winter.
Curious spring dog.
Nope. No seasons whatsoever.
Okay. I got it. The curious restaurant named Dog.
Closer. Much closer. Not even close at all.
The curious case of the dog in winter. I'm done.
Ooh. You're much closer. The whole winter spring thing. I get where you're coming from. It's because there is a time concept being night. Described. Ooh.
The curious case of the dog at night.
Pretty damn close. I mean, really, like, okay, so I was...
Wait, I got it. I have it. The curious case of the schnauzer at night.
You are good with dog. It's not a schnauzer. In fact, the dog in ours is gigantic.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a monster?
No, but yeah, it's not a spoiler. Do you want the actual title?
I would like to know it.
Okay, it's the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime.
That's just annoying of it.
Yeah, well, here's how annoying that is. Maybe this is interesting. We'll find out.
I think so.
I was, when I was working at Berkeley Rep, they had a trivia night. And so in the bar before a show. And so I went down and joined a team made up of other staff members from Berkeley Rep for a little while. And they were asking all kinds of showbiz questions, like, you know, name the five top Tony winning musicals or whatever. And they just, and you know, most of the people at my table knew a lot, way more than I did. And then they were asking about, because the play I was in there also was a play based on a novel, which mine is now. And they were asking about like other ones, plays based on novels. And in my head, I was like, well, we know one of them. And it's The Curious Case of the Dog in the Night is what we said. What we turned in as our answer.
And you said case.
And that's, oh, no, we said incident.
Okay.
We said The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night.
I got you.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And they didn't give it to us, even though no one even guessed that name at all.
They didn't give it.
They were like, nighttime. And I was like, no, okay, if the answer had been Les Miserables, and we'd said Les Mis, you'd have given us credit for that.
Yeah.
But the play is called Les Miserables. It's not called Les Mis.
Push whoever that is right off a cliff.
Yeah, we were mad.
I feel like in life, if people are like that, I don't really know what your life is like or about. Because, and that's fine. I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of shit I go through makes that kind of detail really insignificant. Like, imagine what your life is if you're that guy policing that. I don't mean like your life is meaningless.
I mean
like, what's up, bro?
To be fair.
Okay.
To be fair.
Please do.
I try to be.
Yes.
It was a trivia contest. And so right and wrong answers matter. That's the whole point of a trivia contest.
Right. Of course.
But in this, like, had it been a tiebreaker and one person had gotten it exactly right and we had gotten it not exactly right, sure.
Right.
You call it. Otherwise you go, yeah, you guys got the points. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if that is the origin of my lifelong irritation with details that are really, really detail-y. Like, I wonder if it's really just, because that's clearly my issue. But like, I wonder if that comes from, the reason I can't actually justify it by saying it's because of like a life of trauma and healing and all that. I can't actually get away with that, I think, because before I remember...
Sorry about that. I just realized I hadn't been recording audio. Geez. But you have been, so you can upload the entire thing instead of me. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, God, I hope I do that right. Hold on.
I'll talk you through it later. You are recording. When you record all the pieces.
And I'm now also recording the Zoom.
Oh, you hadn't been recording the Zoom.
No, I was just doing the other thing. I think I just spaced it.
Okay, so now this is where the recording actually starts.
Fuck.
What were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Should we just start over?
No! God damn it. What the hell was I saying?
Wait, so if we start over, you'll say something about what I'm wearing.
You're shirt cocking it.
Yeah. So
you have no pants on like Winnie the Pooh. You're in a play with a ridiculous title.
Yep.
People who run trivia nights are annoying. And I have an issue with details.
Yep. So you're all caught up, probably for the best, honestly.
No.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's Cassie and Katie here.
How did we even get to your shirt cocking? Oh, you said, I'm wearing a shirt. I said, you said, how do I look? And I said, glorious or something.
I mean, ironically, the reason that conversation came up is because you said, I'm recording video, and then proceeded to not record video. And then I proceeded to not record the Zoom audio either.
Somebody needs to take me back into the yard.
Mm.
This is how the last 3 weeks have been.
Behind the woodshed.
Mm. First we have sex. Then they just shoot me in the head.
And wow, that's a big leap.
Of my misery. Well, at least I get laid one more time before I die.
I was thinking about a spanking, and that was kind of hot. Nah, but then it was like, shoot me in the head at night.
Well, I can't do stuff like a person. Why am I here? What is it for? I'm not shirt cocking.
Wow. So so let me get this straight. Maybe
Go
we
ahead.
Need to unpack this, Katie.
No.
If you are not
very simple.
Perfect with your technical execution of things,
okay.
You are not worthy of life. Let me just, is this?
Nope. You're not getting it. Hold on. Recording again. We just should, everyone.
This is taking a turn.
It's recording again. Okay. No, it's like, I don't even have like self-hate involved. I just have like the fatigue of trying.
Mm.
I don't have self-hate. I just have like, I'm all set. We did it. We did a lot of stuff this lifetime. We really did. Go me. I fucking healed shit most people won't face.
You're cool either way.
A lot of businesses. I have some friends that are cool. I'm all set. I have a dog. She's great. Eric's got her. It's fine. Let's wrap it up. I can't do humaning. I can't human. So like, you know, here's why. Maybe if someone puts me out of my misery,
mm-hmm.
I'll come back right away in some other form that I am more suited to.
You come back as an Android supercomputer?
No. I'm not suited to that. I'll come back as like wind or like an idea.
A fart,
or maybe a tree or a bird.
Yeah.
Nobody, you don't have to be exacting about anything if you're a bird. I mean, you got to catch worms and stuff, but like, I assume that gets pretty easy pretty quick.
Yeah. You just got to grab the right things and take them to your nest.
And like, stay away from bigger birds. What are other predators that are going for birds?
Cats. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cats go after them. And get them regularly.
You get a headless bird carcass on your doorstep.
Oh, yeah. And now the dog and the cats fight over the headless carcai.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real thing.
I don't like that.
So you're shirt cocking. And
I'm in a play.
You're in a play and it's called The Curious. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Oh. Brilliant and beautiful.
Which you once went to a trivia thing about and said, curious dog of the night. And they said, no. And I say to them, you should be pushed off a cliff. Then I should be taken by the woodshed, shot in the head, come back as a bird.
I think we're all caught up.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
I have no pants on. I'm going to play with a difficult title.
How's the play?
It's going good. It's been kicking. The asses of all of us in the best way. But sometimes you're like, oh, my ass is getting kicked. And this has been one where we're all getting kind of pushed to our limit as like It's going good, but it's like a ton of choreography and okay. It's like movement, and we're an ensemble and we're doing all this basically like modern dance, and we're mostly not dancers. We're mostly actors with good control of our body, and we have an awesome choreographer, sort of co-director doing the movement, and she's wonderful. But man, we're all like, huh. Holy shit. At the end of every day, we're exhausted and like brains are full. But I'll tell you, there's a couple of things. These are the lessons I've been learning, or the spiritual lessons I've been applying.
Wait, I don't want to miss anything you're going to say. Okay.
The spiritual lessons I've been applying. The spiritual lessons I've been applying.
Yeah.
The main one is it's not my job.
Good for you.
Oh, God, that one's been huge. Like, it's been a long tech. It's one of those plays, for those of you who are not in theater, when you do tech, you do a thing called a cue to cue, where they've like written the light cues and the sound cues, and then you plug them in where they need to go in the show. And then you skip the scene in between because you don't need to keep talking, because you can just go to the next cue and say like, okay, the moment before this cue, and you say this line, and they're going to take the lights, and they're going to practice that. Well, this play is just a series of cues. Like, it's,
yeah.
You can't cue to cue it. You just got to work every moment. And the blocking changes, and we're bringing out these rolling doors, and they have to synchronize with the lights. And we've got cool, like, LED strips that are doing cool chaser things. We have projections. It's pretty badass.
That's cool.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
So we did a run through. We did a designer run, like, last weekend, the previous weekend.
Okay.
And then had a couple of days, and then and that was our first ever actual run through of the play.
Oh.
Was designer run.
Oof.
And then didn't do another actual run through of the play, top to bottom, until final dress on night before last, with an invited audience.
Oh, God.
Because we were teching from like
stressful.
Just, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, all day, nonstop. We finished teching the show Wednesday afternoon.
Wow.
Finished writing cues and making sure that things were lined up. And then we had and then we did it. And then we killed it. We were awesome. We made 100 mistakes and none of them mattered, you know?
Great.
Because it's such an ensemble-y show. You're like, oh, there's no bench there that I'm supposed to set. So I'm going to have to run across to the other side of the stage and grab a bench that someone forgot to put in the right place. Blah, blah, who cares? But it was, you know, and making the most of those moments. And, oh, there's no spikes here. So I'm just going to pick these up and move them over into the light, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And then last night we had our first paid audience. And they were great. Like,
it was a preview?
It was a preview. And, like, it's definitely one of those, the magic of theater things.
So you're kind of not ready, but people are there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what a preview is, as you know, I'm not explaining it to you, Katie.
No.
A preview is, you know, before you officially open. So you kind of hold the right to say, hold, if you need to, we got to fix something, you know, and the audience is sort of part of the process in that case. And they pay way less to see that show.
Right.
But they saw a show. Beginning to end show that was great. You know, I think it was probably good. It's one of those things where we don't know if it's good or not. That's not up to us at this point.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're pulling it off. But through that process, you know me, I'm a very like, this isn't going to work. You have to do it differently. Why are they making those choices? We are running out of time. This is taking too long. I've been that person for 100 years.
Yeah, same.
And it's exhausting, and it doesn't do anybody any good. It just makes your life miserable, and then you're unhappy in a process.
Totes.
That's going to not change regardless of your feelings about it.
For sure.
And then I just was like, that's not my problem. What I know is I've got these 9 other humans who are working together. We're kind of in love with each other. We very much are like, I got you. I got you. What are we going to do?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Nobody's pulling any, this is unacceptable bullshit. No one's abusing anybody.
That's great.
And I know that the tech people are working overtime to get this shit right. They're exhausted.
Yeah. Everybody's literally doing their best.
And they're all doing their job. And that was the key. Like,
I got you.
I still go back to, you know, to the Rev and what we learned on the 3. If I don't do it, it won't get done. If I don't say it, it won't get said. If I don't complain about it, it won't get complained. If I don't call it out, it won't get called out. Yeah, well.
I totally hear you. It's By the way, I can't tell you how many people keep mentioning that episode to me.
Yeah.
People in classes I teach that I don't even know listen to this thing.
Yeah.
Are like, oh, that episode. I actually gave it as a homework assignment in my Enneagram class. People are re-listening to it now. So she's the coolest and we got to have her back. And
yeah,
I have now read the book because to prepare for my own class, I was like, I need to read this. And I like reread all kinds of Enneagram shit whenever I'm teaching it. Because I can't, I mean, fuck, that shit is, talk about teach what you need to learn. Fuck me. Because I think I have it kind of. And then I'll be like, oh God, right. There's that layer too, you know. Luckily, I'm many steps ahead, just enough steps ahead of the students to be like, I have all this wisdom. But really, I'm just like treading water to be a few steps ahead. Not really, but kind of, you know how it is teaching.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's just so great. And that episode's doing great. And I think I might've told you this, and then I want to come back and finish the play narrative, that shout out to Danielle in upstate New York, my friend of Kat Zidane, friend of the podcast. Danielle voice memoed me. I think I voice memoed you about this, but she was like, or she sent me a text from Northern New York. Hey, I just want you to know your political rant on the podcast the other day really helped me get in touch with my feelings about what's happening in the world. And I was like, yay, thank you for A, listening, B, telling me that, C, helping an eight, like I mean this sincerely, understand that sometimes our intensity is helpful to someone. And we're not just this endless barrage of intensity that people can't handle.
Or negativity.
My God, like I need to off gas sometimes. I do that here because where the fuck else am I doing it? And I mean, there's answers to that, but I do like to do it here because I feel like the world is such a place where there's the only safe place to off gas or just vent or have a quote, quote, negative feeling is in fucking therapy.
Yeah.
Can we create any other spaces on earth where the lower self, other than on a stage where you have to pretend to be someone else, where the lower self has like a moment? Anyway, so thank you, Danielle. You made my fucking week on 8 levels. And Cassidy, I wanted you to know people are listening. I'm proud of us.
That just reminds me of something that I want to look up. I'm going to try and find it real quick. It's our one-star review, I think, on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, that's exciting. Is it from our friend who wrote us all those emails?
No. And I think we should, in all fairness, follow up. But he wrote a final follow-up.
Like, this is a good point.
Kind of saying like, hey, thank you. This is great. And I actually really appreciate what you've said and I get it and I understand more. And
yeah,
while I don't appreciate being called a dickwad, I kind of get what you're saying.
Didn't I call him a fuckwad?
Fuckwad. Let's be clear.
Because that's worse.
And that's a fair beat on his end to say like, but totally. Like for him to say, while I don't appreciate being called a fuckwad, that's regardless of that, like we're cool. Like I get it.
To even be more fair, he was like, well, I don't appreciate it, comma, Katie, comma, when you call me a fuckwad. Or no, when you call me names like fuckwad.
Fuckwad.
I was like, all right, this guy's won me over.
Yeah.
I get it. I appreciate him. Thank you.
We are actually in dialogue about this idea.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find it. I'm just going to narrate into my phone. So this is just going to be irritating.
This is the one
Apple Podcasts, all the answers.
Oh boy. Why are you going down the dark path?
Oh, because it's funny. It's relevant. It's very relevant to what we just said.
All right. It's a good reason. I would like to acknowledge while you're looking for this, for those of you watching this, can we just applaud the coordination between my eyeglasses, my mug, and my shirt? Can I have 1 minute in life to feel like a person who did a thing that isn't terrible?
It's really, you're really working it. It's good. This is a nice,
thank you. It was
a nice combination.
Entirely accidental. I wish I could take credit. Carry on.
Okay. This is from Cholita Lover.
Okay.
Okay.
Not going to do an accent.
You just did.
I can do it.
You made it Russian though. So that's good. You like shifted gears real quick.
Okay, go. Oh, and I have news. I have to update you with my news.
Carry okay.
Forth. Yeah.
This is relevant to what we were talking about. The headline of it is Yikes. It's a one-star review. The headline is Yikes. If you enjoy traveling through spirituality with barrels of rage, This is your podcast. For those of you looking for a calm, centered, and grounded voice for spiritual direction, look elsewhere.
That's actually really well said.
Yeah. She's not wrong.
No.
I mean, barrels we aren't barrels of rage. It's a little overstated.
No, and then clearly she's talking to me. So like...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Wow, I actually kind of like that. I thought I was going to feel triggered.
No.
I don't. I kind of like it because, again, I think she's right.
She's like, saying not for everyone.
Exactly.
And that is fine.
Oh my God. That's funny. Here's why I like it. She sees it as a negative and I respect that. But I see it as an acknowledgement, a sort of exaggerated, unfair, you didn't listen to a lot of episodes, acknowledgement of something that you're right, that I just said that actually is a value of mine, which is part of this for me. It needs to be about, okay, this is great actually, because it's making me state overtly something that I think is implicit, which oftentimes when you assume something is implicit, it's not at all.
Yeah.
I want this to be a place of the full range of expression is allowed and the full range of human experience is expressed, not what most spiritual, podcasts do. And this was the fucking point from the beginning. Rage expressed was that it be comedy and spirituality because the comedy allows the inclusion of the lower self and doesn't say, we're just peace and centeredness every second. Some of us the fuck aren't. And some of us use spirituality and have a relationship with consciousness for the sake of coming back to center. But some of us go way out to the edge of the field of not center and then come the fuck back because that's what some of us do, bitch.
The fuck count is now up to 12.
So anyway, that's a thing.
I think for the rest of the episode, every time you say fuck or I say fuck, ding.
That's good.
We run a little counter in the bottom corner.
I just had an insight about, I'm like, I'm always thinking about Enneagram. It's on the brain. But I'm always thinking about how the eight benefits from the twos and the nines in their life. Like we really get a lot from the twos and the nines because eight integrates to two, first of all.
Okay.
So we learn from the love and the kindness and the nurturance and the vulnerability of a two.
Mm.
And the nines are sometimes the only people on earth that can handle the eight because the nine can handle everything because it's just wind. So I say that mostly mocking in my head, Eric, my partner, not Rami, but we'll throw Rami in there too.
Yeah.
As a lovely tease of a friend I love. But I'm saying like, God bless the twos and the nines in my life because I'd be really in trouble without some of them. In various periods of my life. But I just had this thought of like, oh, that might be a way because the five does integrate to the eight. Somebody integrates to us that the eight contributes to, that the eight has value. I mean, I know it should be obvious that every number has value to all somebody, whoever, whatever. But it's hard to remember as an eight that you ever have value because we're just so triggering for so many people. But then as I was saying all that, and as I think about Danielle's text to me, I'm like, no, sometimes we can liberate the softer, gentler numbers from their politeness or from their chains of repression or whatever it might be. Just a little moment of like, oh, maybe the eight has something good.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. So
I mean, it also just boils down to the idea that like if one is being, what's the word? Authentic.
Yeah.
An overused word. But if one is being truly authentic or in alignment and expressing truth from a place of truth, it's going to trigger somebody, right? You know, and it's going to upset somebody and it's going to turn somebody else. And it's also going to be what someone else needs. We have experienced over and over episodes, like even ones that weren't like rage episodes, but episodes where maybe we both were like, was that even interesting? That's kind of a dumb one. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then that's the episode we get 10 emails on.
Right.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed. I was on someone else's episode on another podcast. I was on.
I saw your post. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Our friend Frida Maletsky. Look her up. She's got her own podcast going and she is starting her own healing business and things are moving along. Anyway, I was on her podcast and I, you know, posted about it. And I got an email from some or a message from someone in New York who was like, oh my God. You know, and again, I didn't know if what we had talked about was actually of interest to anyone.
I know.
Couldn't tell. I just was like, I'm just going to have a conversation with someone I love and share the truth as best I can.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like, did we even talk about the thing we meant to talk about? I don't even know. And then this person messaged me and was like, God damn it. That was exactly what I needed to be hearing.
Isn't that the greatest?
Thank you. Plus, it was nice to like feel like I was hanging out with you, you know, like
100%.
They got that vibe off of it, too. So anyway.
Yeah.
That podcast is called The Healing Artist. Look it up.
Rock on.
Frida Maletsky, The Healing Artist. Okay.
No, I'm glad you happy to support and plug the peeps. What was I going to say? I'm thinking, of course, Human Design. Like if you're out there and you know your chart at all and you happen to be someone with a lot of individual circuitry, like channels of the individual circuit. So just a reminder, there's tribal circuits, collective circuits, individual circuits, and sort of some subsets, but that's enough to say right now. But the individual circuit people who have a lot of them, which I happen to have mostly them, along with some collective stuff. Anyway, and a little tribal, but mostly individual and a lot of individual.
Yeah, shocking.
We are here to, what a surprise. We are here to make an impact. And I always remember my teacher will say, well, she'll be casually looking at my chart when I have a session with her and she'll be like, well, you probably made a profound impact over here. And then you probably dropped like a bomb over there. And you probably impacted these people in this way. And I'll be like, you just said impact 8 times. And she's like, well, yeah, that's what you guys do. You're here to make an impact. You're here to make noises and rumbles and shake the ground, and you won't be able not to. So get into it. And like, this was years ago, and like, she said it to me a million times, because that is something you need to hear a lot of times. If you are a female in America, sorry, but I think women in particular need help being like, right, 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 right. The mold is a lie. Like, I'm someone who lives far outside the mold, but I get caught by the mold.
100%.
Not the smelly mold, the plastic mold that I'm supposed to put my boobies into so they look a certain way, you know? No.
I don't. I was just trying to like walk down that path with you of metaphorical illustration, and I just lost it. And all I was thinking about was like your boob. Maybe you were getting a mammogram. I think ultimately it ended with you getting a mammogram, which I've heard described but never witnessed.
It is a lot of smushing.
Yeah, from what I hear.
It's smushing between metal slabs. You don't want metal slab smushing of the booby. There's a nipple there and she is sensitive.
Yeah.
Anyway, impact. Yeah. So if you have individual circuitry, I'm so glad we're talking about this. I forget it all the time. There are actually people on Earth who part of their purpose is to just like make an impact. We're not to vanish at the back and blend in and connect and share and love and friends and together skipping down the street with our children and our picnic baskets. We're doing something else. That's not wrong, but we're not wrong. And it's so not easy to remember.
Yeah.
Makes me want to do stand-up again.
I love your stand-up. I want you to do stand-up again.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, what a place to make an impact, you know?
Yeah.
Comedians can just, you could just be it there.
Yeah. I was just listening. I've been listening to Conan Needs a Friend.
Same.
Interesting. And interestingly, I've been listening to all the Bill Burr and Conan episodes.
Same.
Shut up.
I'm wondering if they're doing like a real push of it. Right?
No, I just, he had one recently and I was like, God, I just love these two guys being together. They're just two Irishmen, redheads from Boston who just crack each other up. It's really what they're there to do. But there's a deeper truth behind that. Like, oh, we're just goofing. And then I listened to the W. Kamau Bell episode from way back, like 5 years ago or 3 years ago. It was during COVID. And W. Kamau Bell and him actually broke it down a little more deeply. This idea of like what your voice is and how you use it. And like, they're kind of getting into like cancel culture or whatever, but saying like, if your voice is already that thing, you're not probably going to be canceled. But if you have been talking in this way, and then suddenly you go, I'm going to be. So it's almost like if you're this kind of comedian and the truth is you are not an eight.
Yeah.
And then you go, I'm going to be an eight comedian.
Sure.
then people are going to be like, whoa, that was racist.
Right.
Because they don't believe it because it actually does sound like.
Right.
Whereas if you're like a Bill Burr who's really.
An eight, maybe.
In that space.
Yeah.
And then is, you know, sometimes treads on dangerous ground, but still there's a sense of, no, but that's still you being true.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But been listening to those two guys just crack each other up has been amazing.
Did you hear the episode? I can't remember which one now because I also have been listening to all of those.
That's so funny.
That's so funny. Did you hear the one where Conan plays the audio of himself as a kid on camera with his like sister, I think it is?
No.
And he talks like this, see? He's like, all right, sis, you're here. And you got your baseball mitt and you got to catch them all. And he actually talks that way. And Conan, in real time, is commenting on, he's like, listen to how I talked. My God. So funny. And then I heard an episode of Armchair yesterday where they interviewed a woman who wrote a book about Lorne Michaels.
Uh-huh.
And it's really fun, SNL, salacious history, Lorne, the whole thing. But they talk for a second in the middle of the episode about the Conan Wars, the TV late night wars thing with Conan.
Yeah.
And how, just like learned more about Conan, basically. And it was, that's, that whole TV, do you remember that? The late night wars?
When it was like, yeah, that was a huge thing.
Yeah, I forgot about the nuance of it. It was fun to kind of rehear that story again and be like, oh, right, that had in it some nuance you forget about in the whitewash of the remembering of a past story, you know?
Yeah.
Like the studio or the executives or somebody had promised Conan the job.
Right.
And he was waiting for it for years. And then they had a contract that was like, it said something like, we'll put you on at this time that's shitty if you promise, like, and we promise because it's shitty that in 5 years or some period of time, you get the Tonight Show slot. And so that was in the contract. So the time ticks by and Conan's like not getting his and not getting his and not getting his. And then it's time. And he's like, all right, Tonight Show time, because it's in the contract. And it was, it turned out the executives or whoever wrote the contract with him were incorrect when they predicted when Jay Leno would want to be ready to leave. So Jay Leno was like, I'm not leaving. And they're like, but we have this contract. And he's like, I have a contract. My contract says I'm not leaving. And so then they started to like creepily, shadily push Jay out. And then there were these weird compromises where this one would be at 10:05 and this one would be at 12:05. And the 05 was insulting to people. Like it was like a whole, all because of some exec promised him something that he couldn't really deliver.
Yeah.
Apparently. Anyway, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Salacious goss.
How did that? Oh, we were just talking about comedians, your stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And how stand-up comedians get to
fully be
their. Yeah. And that there, I mean, it's an important function, this need to,
yeah,
to through laughter express rage.
Yeah.
Like that's right. Really kind of what it boils down to in this context.
Yeah, for sure. For sure-sies. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And as a woman too, I feel like I was watching some Wanda Sykes yesterday, I think. And she's such a fucking cool badass. She's so like, and like all the Rosie O'Donnells and the Wandas, and even before she went insane,
Roseanne.
Yeah, Roseanne.
I knew who you were talking about. Which one? Oh, Roseanne.
Yeah. And like, I watch Kathy Griffin sometimes. She has a new YouTube show, which I highly recommend, called Talk Your Head Off. I love these women who are just forward facing, out loud, masculine energy-ing. Just like, here I am, and I am not petite or pretty or cute or small.
Yeah.
Like, energetically.
Yeah.
I might be of body, but I'm just out. It's out. I'm saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much in white lady culture that is about, and I say this because I'm so steeped in it right now, living in the burbs in Walnut Creek, right? Of like, everybody's a mommy with a couple babies and they're all having Easter parties and everything's cute and adorable all the fucking time.
You're living in a like, Lululemon store.
I'm like, does anybody out here get mad? Like, does anybody have any, are you upset about some stuff? And thank God for the Jews out here. I said it. That's right. Because my Jewish homies are the ones who you could go on a walk around the lake and have a real talk about something.
Yeah.
Is it just like, yeah, and then we're going to do the crafts and then the balloons will come. And it's like, how do people live like that, Cass? How?
You can tell me better than I can. You living in it.
How I actually feel about it. Of course, I just said that judgy sentence, but like how I actually feel about it is I look at it and I go, what a nice little way you live. Like that looks nice over there. You very gentle spirits, you. And one of the challenges, the central challenges in my romantic relationship, which by the way, we've been doing great lately and we're in couples therapy. And I want to say that out loud because I am proud of us because it is helping.
Nice.
It's been going great. I'm proud of us. But one of our central challenges that we'll be having an argument. I'll be like, he likes to tone police me. Your tone. And I'm like, okay, I understand. That's fair. But also, you're dating a Jew. And sometimes I think you don't want to be. So like, that's your choice, bro. You want to date a Jew or not?
Yeah.
And he's not a racist man. He's a wonderful man who I love. But he's so white. He's a white man from the
like Midwestern style,
polite and soft-spoken and gentle. His mom. Oh, what a gentle, white, lovely, artsy, gentle, white, slight, lovely, gentle woman.
Uh-huh. Who may have cauldrons of bubbling rage inside her, but we will never know.
I have no idea. I would have no idea. I don't know. Because I'm such a Jew culturally compared to the culture he comes from. Like it's literally a cultural difference we have. And I'll say, and I'm not, when I say that to him, I'm not giving him shit about race. Okay, let's be very clear. I don't think he hates Jews.
You are talking about behavior ultimately.
It's more just like I'm saying in shorthand, hey, look, some of this is just my personality. And if you decide you don't like it, that's cool. Let me know, because I got to go do stuff. But
yeah, let's be clear. You're an 8 Jew, which is like a double-barreled shotgun in this context.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just making a joke mostly. Following up on what you said, and maybe I'm not allowed to say it because...
No, you could say it.
I'm not claiming the identity, but I said it. But yeah, we're talking about how it manifests for sure.
Well, like what I'm saying is like if I live in a neighborhood where everybody's nice and everything's polite all the time, and I start to notice who are my friends becoming. It's all the ladies who are Jewish in the neighborhood because there's a certain edge and willingness to talk about what's challenging that I think the whitest of the white people stay away from in general.
Yeah.
There's a way that we lean toward what's kind and what's nice and what's positive. And I have to tell you, that's a lovely quality to have.
Yeah.
That is a good way to be, I think. I can't live that way. I like can't. I tried to be a white lady. I'm just bad at it. I can't. And I don't want to. But I respect it. It's over there being its thing. I just don't relate.
For sure.
And it's the older I get, the more it's like, that's okay. Everything's okay. You can be very gentle and white and it's great for you.
Yeah.
I just don't happen to be that. I'm not actually mad at anybody. You do you. Line 2 in the body. Second line body. Democratic. You be you.
Yeah.
Live and let live. I don't care. There's no threat to me. I'll find my Jews and we'll go for walks. Okay.
We have just experienced something called the emotional wave.
Yeah, exactly.
We've just experienced all aspects just now.
The up, the down, and the
up, the down, and in between. And now we've swung back to like, it's fine.
It really is. I know. It is. It's you got to have a lot of patience and space. Or you got to just be at a comedy show listening to me talk, I guess. I have news.
Great. This is, we've been, from the beginning, we've been wanting to get to the news, which I would like to. So wait, let me be the interviewer. Katie, how are you doing? What's going on for you?
Thanks for asking. I appreciate you.
You bet.
I'm trying to think of how to talk about it. Okay, we'll go like this. I think on the personal growth level, that I'll say the growth news aspect of the news, and then the news aspect of the news.
Okay.
So the growth for me in this story is I learned, okay, manifesting generators, of which I am one, if you're out there, one of the main things manifesting generators learn slowly over a long time is how to stop trying to be a manifester. We have so much energy, the manifesting generator, and so much in the body, usually in so much definition and so many ideas. And we have all this creativity. There's just like a lot of like, go, 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 go energy, right? Action, eight, whatever that we, and we have, when you're a manifesting generator, you have just enough gates and channels that you're, my teacher describes it like you're almost a manifester, but you're not. And manifestors are here to, as we, if we recall, to think up an idea, go out and make it happen, and then employ the generators and the manigens to get it done. That's like theoretically, ideally how things go. But we're all conditioned weirdly and living incorrectly, so shit gets wonky. And one of the ways shit gets wonky is manifesting generators trying to always be manifestors. And I could see, looking back on my life, many, many ways I've done that. One of which was like trying to have my theater company on my own. Like, just like, I'm going to start this. I'm starting it, me, and I'm going to be the engine of it all. And that was so hard. It almost killed me. I'm very proud to say we put a good show together, but at what cost? And yeah, the answer is at the cost of my body, soul, and spirit. And so I learned, and I retreated, and I licked my wounds, and I said, okay, got that lesson the hard way. Can't do it all on my own. Got it. Don't even want to do it all on my own. To be fair, there was a strong impetus in my body to do that. I'm really kind of proud of myself that I did do it, but it was like just not worth the horror show of the difficulty of it. Okay. So I went to the township of a wealthy town. I'm going to stay vague on some of this, and approached them and said, hey, I notice you have a space that doesn't have a professional theater in it. Would you like a professional to run it? And they actually went, what now? And I said it again. And they said, huh, who are you? And I went like, here's who I am. And here's all the things I've done. And here's what I know. And here's who my friends are. And they went, huh, give us a minute. And then some months went by and they were like, we'd like you to talk to our boss. And I talked to their boss. We had the same conversation. Would you like really high quality stuff in there that we could actually turn into like something competitive that's like very good and we could bring people in, but you'd have to pay for it. You'd be paying for it. Hi, you'd be paying for it. You good?
Yeah.
Like day one, you would get the money from the city. They would give it to me to do the stuff because I am incapable of that. And I finally have learned, I have the humility to say, I can't with that.
Yeah.
And they said, yes. And I said, huh? And they said, yeah, that sounds good. We want to be part of your world, is what they said. And I'm like, all right. So then, I mean, I'm like, very believe it when I see it. Very. This is like a dream come true. So it's like, that can't be real. That can't be like happening.
Yeah.
So they came back to me a third time and they said, here's what we're going to be able to do. We'll be able to do one product. We'll start with one show, 6-week run. You get everything you want. I already had given them a budget proposal. They're like, we'll give you the budget. We'll even give you the shows you want to do around it. I want to do like a jazz show, and I want to do an improv show, and I want to do an art show and a wine tasting. You do all the things around the thing. We'll do all of that, but we're just going to do one of all of that. And then the town in charge, the people with the money, will see how good it is. And they will, then we'll be able to go back to them and say, next year we'd like to do two, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the people in charge of the building are deciding to operate with this. And so I still sort of like, wow, I can't believe that worked.
Mm.
And it's because I'm not used to collaborating well.
Mm.
I'm not used to like, wait, people want to help you bring your thing to life? Like, why? Why would they help me? And they are.
Yeah.
And that's, talk about a learning for the eight, and also a learning for the manifesting generator, who's like, I've got enough energy to kind of like make shit happen, but like, it's not fun and it's too hard and it's not actually correct.
Mm.
Like correctness, you know, my splits get bridged and I have people collaborating and I'm serving them and they're serving me and I'm not the total boss, but I'm one of the bosses. Like the more I understand my chart, I have a channel that's like, it's a gate actually. And it's a gate that says, you do well to be in a position of power under someone else's power. And had I read that gate one day earlier, I would have been like, no. And now I'm like, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah.
So So slow learner, but like really cool to see it be like, when something clicks into place with ease, that's when you know you're in actual strategy and authority, correct functioning as your type.
Yeah.
When you're not, when it's not like a boulder up a hill by yourself.
Yeah.
On your shoulder, you know, at least that's one way it can look when it's incorrect.
Yeah.
So once again, I like to air my dirty laundry and make myself look bad so that we can talk about what doesn't work and what does work.
Yeah. Well,
so that's fun.
And the, like the thing about like, if I'd read that one day earlier, I would have said bullshit. I think that's a pretty important piece for all of us too. This idea of like what, like there's sometimes we don't know until we know, or we're not ready until we're ready, you know, like.
Yeah. Timing.
Yeah. Timing. For me, that thing, I know I've talked about it a lot at this point, but like the thing about if you don't do it, it won't get done. But for the three, that idea seems like so, again, a week prior and for the preceding 50 years, no, that's not me at all.
Right.
And then suddenly the timing of that person saying it to me in that moment was like a ton of fucking bricks, and it, and hearing it and being like, oh, that's so true. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can, and we, God, we also, we get lessons 70 times and we're like, I learned that now. And then 6 months later, you're like, I learned that today.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. No,
I didn't. Someone, you know, you learned that last week too.
Totally. I did. Yeah. Sounds like me with my everything I started this episode with, which is you should take me behind the woodshed, shoot me in the head today after we have some sex, because there are so many things I can't do and like, or that I'm bad at, like, namely anything practical. What I mean by that is like today, what I'm talking about is like the microphone and the sound. I mean, how many times are we going to have the same conversation?
Yeah.
And time, get there on time. Like I just really does sometimes feel like I should have been like a walrus or maybe an otter, you know?
Otter. God, to be an otter.
Aren't they cute?
It's the best life.
Oh, just flapping around with your babies on your belly. People
chilling in rafts, holding hands.
Pictures of you. Yes.
Playing with rocks.
Who doesn't think you're cute? Everybody thinks you're cute, right? You get it.
Couldn't we all just be otters?
Be pretty good. And so I feel like, so just to wrap up that little piece of news, it's sort of like very interesting to watch how, remember when I first told you about this, we were at Mortified, uh-huh. And I told you about this and you were like, oh, so you want to do that again? And I was like, not really.
That's, I mean, we were all there. We all held your hand spiritually.
But like, what I want to say about it is, again, it's interesting because I'm looking at it. This is me in the inquiry of this. I have a theory. I don't know if it's correct, but I'm at a total neutrality about doing that. And so it doesn't register in my body as anything. Excuse me. In other words, like if you say, you still want to do, still want to artistic direct something? And I go, I mean, sure. I'm, or not, whatever. It's, I don't care. I can't. I don't know. That's very like, 51%, that is not 100.
Yeah.
And that is not like, no. It's like, I mean, sure.
Wait, and as far as you, isn't that where you're supposed to operate from?
That's my point.
Yeah.
It's the emotional wave.
Yeah.
I like started a guns ablaze and it was too hot and I couldn't hold it all. And then I said, fuck it, I'm out. And I didn't do shit. And then that was sad. And then I was like, well, what if we tried it like normal people do it? And then they said, yes. And I got support and I'm like, huh? And then you're like, do you want to do that? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's the wave. That's it. I did it in the most painful way you could do, but I at least see it now.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's, I feel like that is probably a frustrating thing to have to honor the idea that the best yeses are the, I mean, yeah.
It's quite frustrating, particularly when.
Like, don't honor the, yeah, fuck yeah. And don't honor the no, fuck no.
That's it.
Just honor the, eh, okay, sure.
Particularly when you're someone who's got as much energy as I have that is motivating behind the big yeses and the big no's. And I can't turn that faucet off. I just have to fucking ride it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do but ride the wave.
The Wizzave. Oh, man.
I think we did pretty good here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything ever to talk about ever again.
I think you're right. We nailed it to the wall.
We're done.
We took it behind the woodshed.
And we had sex with it, and then we shot it.
And it's dead now.
Jesus. What a dark thought.
Good luck to all of you out there who are it.
And Cholita lover, if you're still listening, you're right.
You're right.
You're right. You're right.
Day, you. Don't totally listen. Right. You should move along. I support you.
Why are you still listening? You hate us.
Get out of here. You got stuff to do. Where, go talk to centered, calm people. They're somewhere. They exist.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's
totally really want to end by saying it feels so nice to, I'm actually like not triggered by that. It's the trip.
No, I honestly didn't think you would be because it's.
I thought I would be.
Because you didn't know what I was going to say.
That's true.
I mean, there is a certain in a weird way, you feel seen. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, have you ever watched people doing the stars reading their one star reviews or their.
Oh, there's the bad.
Their
tweets.
Comments, their bad tweets about them. And it's.
That's my favorite thing.
Honestly. Yeah. And sometimes they read it and they're like, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I do look like a bargain basement Chris Pratt or whatever. I get it.
Yeah. You're not for everybody. And the codependent lesson of the day is you can't be for everybody.
You can't be for everybody. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I love you.
But I want to be. You do all the
but
work
you,
to be.
You can. You can.
I can. It's possible.
Everybody, for everybody, but only you.
But only me. So now I do have to keep striving for it. If I fall short, I should be disappointed in myself.
Absolutely. You should also definitely seek approval every millisecond you're alive. And validation.
Constantly. Yeah. And if I'm not getting it.
You're a failure, loser, idiot.
Great. Great. Fuck great. Up. Glad we got that clear.
Do your work.
Love you. Do your work.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
At all times. What's that called again? Shirt cocking, but what's the cartoon character? Winnie the Poohing it?
Okay.
Is that the thing? Oh, yeah. Okay, turning this off. All right. Cassidy has revealed, everybody, that he is 100% of the time on the podcast. Shirt cocking it.
Hello.
Let me make sure. All right.
Yep.
Okay. Hello. Out.
There we go. Now I'm looking at you.
Hello.
Yelp.
Are you ready? Are you good?
We out here.
Is it happening? Are we doing it?
Oh my goodness. Sleepy. Okay.
We out here doing it. Yeah, it's early as fuck, right? Yeah. What do you got going on? You had to leave at 10 or 9 or something.
No. I don't have to leave till after 11. I just
wanted
to have time to get ready after we had this because we just had our first preview last night of the play.
Okay, help me out.
Yeah, I did.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.